Holding the Tosfos, Peyamid Aleph, Dibra Maschil, Dibura, De Isbe Maisa. This relates to Motzi Shemra. The Gemara wanted to understand why Rav Chiya mentions the number 24 in his Braisa. What is it coming to Miute? The Gemara says Miute Moser Mefagel. The question is why he's Memait those cases. The Gemara says, as far as Mefagel, Bekachim Lo Kamairi, as far as Moser, Bedibura Lo Kamairi. In fact, the Gemara Moti Shema is Dibura, and yet it's mentioned in his list. And for the Gemara, Dibura de Isbe Maisahu. Exactly what does it mean? So Rashi said it means Be'ila. Tosus has another pshat as well. There's a Machokis Tanoim actually regarding Moti Shemra. Tosus says the Biksubas Perak Naira Amra Velez Ben Yaakov Lenemudram Halo El Sheboal. That's the Shita that Rashi's going with. It says, Ba'ekra ve'leha, v'lo'matzasila b'sulim. So Ba'ekra ve'leha is interpreted to mean Be'ila. Tosus brings the other opinion of Yehuda, Yehuda isle ha'sam achi yiskar eden. And he has a drasha that says, V'samla alilos devarim. So he has a gzereshava, v'lo'sasimon alav neshach. So if he has a gzereshava, that it has to be with eden. So that's the ma'isa being the hiring of the ede sheker. To accuse her of what he accuses her of. A ha'ara that we had at the time, which I don't have really an answer to, is l'chora, the machayev itself of motzi shemra, of the onesh. So to the extent that you go with yiskor edim, I understand that the aveira and the bad thing that he did and his crime would have in it the element of a maisa in that he was hiring edim. So you could say that the dibur de isbe maisa. In other words, the Chomer HaAveira, the Chomer HaMazik, if you will, includes a Maisa that I understand with Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the other suggestion, that it's a Maisa because of Boal, Chora, Boal, that's not Mitzarev to the actual Machayev of Motzi Shemra. That's just simply the background of the case. So why would that be enough to qualify as Dibur Dispe Maisa? Be Dibur Lo Kamairi. As far as the Machayev itself, it's Dibur. The fact that there happened to be a Maisa associated with the history of the story, the Maisa, why is that good enough to call it a Maisa in terms of the listing of Rav Chiya? That's not so clear. Yeah, Maisa, you have the Sugyas in Malkus about Motzi Shemra in terms of learning out by Chiya of Malkus and Malkus Okim B'Shalem, and the Gemara does refer to it as a Rav She'em Bo Maisa. You have to know in terms of different Gemaras when you view this as a Maisa and we don't view it as a Maisa. Here we're talking about a specific issue about listing things in Rav Chiya's Braisa. So you have the Klal of Rav Chiya is the Bura Lo Kamairi. So maybe for that purpose, the fact that we can bring in the story of Maisa, be it the Liskar Eden, be it the Be'ila, it's enough to be able to allow us to put it into the list. I don't know, it's not really a Lamda Shavar, it's just simply the you know, a question of klalim of what to put in. I don't know. Vait kulam ka'avos l'shalim imeitav. This is what the Gemara says at the conclusion of the sugya. The Gemara raises the question. We know that the Mishnah says avos, and we were medayik right away in Beis Hamidalef mechal di'ikatoldo. So that's why the word avos is appropriate, because it's coming to imply that each of these avos nezikin has told us, and we discussed in the earlier dapim what the toldos are of each of the avos nezikin. However, when you find here by Rav Chiya, by Rav Oshia, the word avos, so where do you have the diuk mechal dika todos? What will be the todos? Many things in the list don't have todos. The answer given by Rav Avohu, kulan ka'avos l'shalem imeitav. The phraseology of avos is used here in a different sense, in order to indicate the din of meitav. And that's what the Gzeres Shava teaches us from each of these examples, fitting into one of the words, Tachas Hashem Neshalim Kesef, that they have the same din as we find explicitly by Shem Beregel in the Torah, the din of Yishalim Yimeitav. Zok Tosos, Kuron Kavos Yishalim Yimeitav, the Afagav, the Todos, the Avos, the Masnisin, Meshalminami Yimeitav. What's bothering Tosos? You're telling me that the word Avos is the way to express the din of Meitav, not to Medaik, that there are Todos, there are no Todos for many of these listings. But the din of Meitav, but Todos also have Meitav. After all, the Mishnais, the first Mishnah, all those Avos have Todos, and the din of Meitav applies to Todos as well. So how does the word Avos connect to Meitav if Todos also have Meitav? Mikol Mokom. Hani, as far as these Mazikim, in our brises here, ilav de karinu hu avos lavayadi de mishalmi mimetav. Without using this word avos, we would not know that they pay metav. What does Tosis seem to be saying? Inochinami told us pay metav as well. But Lumaisa, when it says avos over here, it doesn't mean anything but, it can mean Ika Todos, Arnold Todos. So the way that the Braisa wants you to understand the din of metav is by using the term avos. That's the best way to communicate. Inochinami, it's not literal that it has to be, if it's a toda, it can't be metav. But meanwhile, by saying avos, which again associates with Ksivi Bikra, it's written in the Chumash, as Rashi says. So the Ksivi Bikra allows us to now use the Tachas Nesina Shayim Kesef once you start looking at the Kra, and you see what the Torah says in those Tzukim. So that's what gives us the Din Meitav. So to that extent, the word Avos can be a way of communicating the Din Meitav. Not that Bedavka, something which is a Toda, is not Meitav, but the fact is, if it's an Av, it's in the Torah. If it's in the Torah, you can look at the words in the Chumash, and you can now use the methodology of Tachas Nesina Shayim Kesef and be able to learn out Meitav. So that's a way of saying Meitav. That's what Tosis is saying. I know people tumult here, I don't know why, but, you know, Ali.
Isn't Avos
told Mashma Todos? No, that's the point. You can have the word Avos and it can be Mashma Todos, but not always. You can, in the case here, it's not true. So there's another reason why you can have the word Avos. In the Mishnah, the word Avos is meant to connote the Ika Todos. In the Braisa, in the list of Rav Yoshi and Rav Chia, it doesn't mean that. Obviously, it doesn't come to tell me that because these examples don't all have Todos. But rather, the Avos is meant to convey a different point, and that's the din of Meitav. And as I explained, because Avos is Ksivi Bikra allows us to use the methodology that we have to learn out Mishalim Meitav, Tachas Yishalim Kesef, and that's what can allow us to get to din of Meitav. But not to convey anything but that. That's just a way to express the din of Meitav by using the word Avos. Not to tell me Todos, it's not so.
Line on Bidam and
Alav
would be
Lav Dafka? No, that would be one way to Medayk from Avos, and that would be the first course of action. The first intuition in seeing Avos is Ika Todos. That's the way it is by Tuma, that's the way it is by Shabbos, that's the way it is by Bezam and Aleph in Bava Kaba. Lamaisa, when it comes to a Braisa and Dalet Amud Beis, you realize that the Chiya Rav Oshia used the word Avos in a different sense. Obviously, the first gut reaction is Avos Bachadika Todos, and that's usually what you would find. But when it's not that, it's got to be some other underlying idea, and that's what we have in our Gemara that called the Mishalmi Meita. Again, Avos has to do with Ksivi Bikra, and also, you know, where it's possible to say the Ika Todos, that's what you would say. When that's not obviously the case, like here, obviously they don't all have Todos. So then it would have to just have the sense that it wants you to know Ksivi Bikra and Mishalmi Meitav. Yeah?
Now, why can't we just call them Mazikin and then just learn out from Tachas Nesina Yishalmi Kesef that they pay Meitav?
Again, that's true, but by saying Avos, it allows us to hear that much clearer. Now, this Avos means it's Ksivi Bikra. Ksivi Bikra means it's there's Lishonos to look at in the Pasuk. So then you have to look at the Lishonos and you find the Tachas over here and the Sina over here, the Yishalim over here and the Kesef over here, and then you know Meitav. So
we call them Mazikin.
Mazikin doesn't speak to the Tzach Tachas Nesina Drasha. It doesn't tell me the din of Meitav. By saying Mazikin, how do I know Meitav? There's nothing in the word Mazikin that has any association with Meitav. By saying Avos, then I'd be able to understand that Avos has a connotation of Meitav, not for Todos, but for Meitav.
In the context where you're looking for what you where you have to pay from, if like we're looking to see if you pay Meitav, that's when you would then go into the Psukim, even if they're called
right.
Mazikin.
Yeah, but in saying the word Mazikin, I would have to tell me a different shir in order to tell me the din of Meitav. I'd have to tell you a separate halacha. Here it's a shorter and sweeter way to tell you the din Meitav. By calling them Avos, then you already know, by the same token I'm calling the Avos Mazikin, I've already discovered something more about them. That is the Shalmi Meitav. If I say Mazikin, then I have not indicated anything about the Din of Meitav. I'll have to tell you another sentence later. By the way, they pay Meitav. If I say Avos Mazikin, then right away I can get to the understanding of Meitav.
Okay.
So that's why he says, Abba, Shlishami Meita.
Could Rebbe speak to why the word Avod is used and not Mechayev Emeita?
So I think Mechayev Emeita is two words. Avos is one word. I mean, that's, it's shorter and sweeter, and ends up communicating the same thing. That's more or less what I'm saying. In other words, Avos is a way, it's a convenient way to convey the inyan of Meitav. And that's the way I understand it, because Avos is Sivi Bikra, and Meitav is based on the language of the Pasuk of Tachas, Sisin, Shan, Kesef. So, if you want, I mean, I suppose you can dash it more here. You know, Avos means it's something chashiv about it, and Meitav is a chashiv, a type of payment. No, I don't know if Mehecha Tesa that I need to say it. To me, I would just say it in terms of Avos being Sivi Bikra. Sivi Bikra is what allows you to wear out Meitav. Could be, once you say that, you can also say Avos has a certain connotation of chashivos, and Shalmi Meitav is a chashiv payment. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the point being that Avos can be used as a way of conveying the Din Meitav, even if it doesn't convey the Ikar Todos. The first, more obvious diuk of the word Avos is Ikar Todos. That's what we said on Dav Beis, and that was the diuk of the other Mishnais as well, Avos Hatumah and Avos Melachos. But when you come over here, obviously that's not an option. So then the Gemara has Rebbe Vo's other explanation of Avos, to tell me the Din Meitav. Tachas Nesina Yishalem Kesef. Okay, so these are the key words, and from these words we end up going through the list as Rashi does, and the Rach does it in a slightly different way, the list of Rav Chiya, and explaining exactly how each one of these Nezikin that are mentioned in the list of Rav Chiya fall under one of these four words, which brings us to the Din of Meitav. So Tosis is going to comment on two of them. First, the Boshes one. What did Rashi say about Boshes? How do I know that Boshes is Mimeitav? So Rashi had really two possibilities. First was that the drasha that we have in the case of Ones, the parsha of Ones that teaches me the Chiyuv Boshes, the pasuk says that he pays chamishim kesef. Pasuk in Parshas Kisei say tachas asher ina, because he pained her. So the Gemara darshins that the Chamishim Kesef is for that, for Tachas Asherina. Meanwhile, but there's something else, some other payment or payments that have to come besides for the Knas payment. And that's Mechlau Di'ika Boshes U'Pegam. Pegam is Nezek and Boshes is Boshes. So the very expression, Tachas Asherina, is a way of deriving that there's a payment called boshes, and this is a boshes in the case of ones. For Rashi, that's the same halacha boshes that you find every time there's a chavola. And meanwhile, the way to learn out the chiyuv boshes is from the word tachas asher ina. It's not direct. It's talking about the payment of the knas, but it's meant to teach me the chiyuv boshes. That's the word tachas. So you have tachas in connection, association with boshes. And then Rashi said, "Lishnachrina," that since you have Pesach Tachas Patsa, referring to Chovel, and all the Chamisha Dvarim, therefore get covered by the Tachas in that pasuk. Tosus brings a Sifrei, which has a different a marker for Boshes paying Mimeitav. The Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha and Sefer Dvarim is a Sifrei, by Midbar and Dvarim, Mapik Boshes mi Vakatsosa, Vakatsosa es Kappa, Velo Sachos Einecha. Yalith me einem zomimin dechsev lo sachos eincha or einecha. Let's take a look what Sukkim Tosis is referring to. The parsha Boshes is found where? Where is the Torah's chiyuv, not the chiyuv by ones, but the chiyuv Boshes of Chovel is where? Anyone know? Kiseitse. Just before Amalek, just before Zachos Eshar Sacha Amalek, right before that. Ki inatzo anashim yachda v'ish v'achiv. There's a fight. So the wife of one of the people arguing wants to rescue her husband from the one who's hitting. She extends her hand and she grabs onto a private part, and that's obviously a maisa that's causing that's machayv boshes. Bekatzosa es kappa. So this person who did this act of causing busha, bekatzosa es kappa. Lo sachos einecha. So what does it mean? You cut up her hand? So we always know that it's an expression. It doesn't mean literally yad tachas yad, ayin tachas ayin. So it says kapas rashi de mamon. The Torah says it in such a way, but it means mamon. Demei bashto hakofi amivayish vamizbayish. It's interesting, Rashi continues, O eina ela yada mamish. Maybe taka, there's such a halacha that you have to cut her hand off. Rashi says, and this is interesting because of what Tosis is bringing, because it's going to bring us back to Edom Zomin, Nemar kan losachos, losachos inecha, that's how the pasuk finishes, v'nemar lahalan be'edom zomimin, parshas shoftim, losachos, ma lahalan mamun af kan mamun. What's the pasuk be'edom zomin? This is in parshas shoftim. It says that v'asisim lo kashe zomim lasus lo'achiv, u'biyat ha'ra mikirbecha. That's the chiv kashizaman. Vanisham yishmu v'iro. Those who are left shall hear and be afraid. V'lo sifu lasas ol kadabar razeh v'kirbecha. They will not do this type of act. V'lo sachos einecha. And you shall not, your eyes shall not have any compassion. Nefesh b'nefesh. That's the expression Rashi uses for the tachas. Nefesh b'nefesh. This organization didn't realize the source of the expression. It's not exactly normal association that everyone uses it today when you hear that expression, okay? Nefesh b'nefesh is state by Edim Zomimin, right? For Edim Zomimin, who are machayev, a person misa, and then nefesh b'nefesh, that's the expression nechomesh, that's where you have it, nefesh b'nefesh, okay? It's all good. Nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin, shein b'shein, yod b'yod, regel b'regel. That's the pasuk. No, so, it says by Edim Zomimin, v'lo sachos einecha. That's the expression that's used by Ibn Zomin, and it's also used by Boshes and Pashas Kiseitse, the Katsosa Eskapo Lo Sachos Einecha. And what is the halacha by Ibn Zomin? Back to the Rashi that we just mentioned. Nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin, and so on, but it doesn't mean literally, no. It doesn't mean literally that you do, in case of an Aver, ayin b'ayin, and so on. Nefesh b'nefesh of Taka means that there'll be a chiv misa if there was a gemara din of misa. That would be. But there's also the Rashi is a tachas idea, but meanwhile, nefesh be'nefesh, ayin be'ayin, Rashi mamon, l'chein shein b'shein. In other words, ayin be'ayin, everything else that follows after nefesh be'nefesh in the pasuk is all mamon. So that's what Rashi brings in Parshas Kiseitse, that the katsosas kapa losachos einecha is to be interpreted as mamon, just like the other velosachos einecha by Edom Zomin, which nefesh, ayin be'ayin, shein b'shein, and so on, means obviously chiyam mamon. That's what the Gemara says, that they never get, if they don't get two punishments, Malchus and Mammon, so usually, if you're not getting two punishments, Malchus and Mammon, which one do you get? Typically, Malchus. Like, come and drive me, they would mean Malchus and not Mammon, Lokin ve'en Meshalmin. But there are two exceptions, Chobel Bachavero and Edom Zomid. The Sugya in Perkin Suvis, we had a few years ago in Yeshiva. So the Edom Zomid, the Farish Ripsa Torah, Edom Zomid Tashlumin. That instead of saying, Ko Aloka in Meshalim, because they should get Malchus for Losane, and Mammon for Kasha Zaman, so which onus do they get? Not the Malkus the Pater from the Mammon, but the other way around. That they'll get the Chiyav Mammon and not the Malkus. That's according to the Mandamar Kol Meshalim Ein Aloka. So that's because the Farish of the Torah here, Ayin Ba'ayin, that we means Mammon, and that means that they'll get the Chiyav Mammon and not the Chiyav Malkus. That's as far as the Rashi is concerned. But meanwhile, we noted already in Rashi, the expression that's identical in both places, V'lo Sacho Seinecha, that's by Edom Zomin, and then we have Lo Sochos Einecha by Boshes. What is the Sifrei quoted by Tosas saying? That we have the din of Meitav to learn by Boshes from Edom Zomin. Edom Zomin has a Chiyuv Meitav. Tosas doesn't yet address it, but Mestami is going with the Shita that he's going to quote a minute from Rashi. How do we know Edom Zomin pay Meitav? Because it said Nefesh B'Nefesh, which is like it would say Tachas. Nefesh b'nefesh is soul for a soul, is as if it would be tachas, even though it's not mamish the word tachas, but that's ki'il would say tachas. So Edom Zomin have a chi of meta based on tachas. And now it says, v'lo socho se necha, nefesh b'nefesh. And it says by Boshes, lo socho se necha. So it comes out that we now have another makar for meta based on the equation of lo socho se necha by Boshes, which is a similar expression to Edom Zomin. That's a new muck, a new pshat of how you know Boshes has to pay me meta. Tosa says, however, let's understand, is this a real gzeira shava? In other words, that we now have a new way to get metav, another expression that comes into the hopper here. We have tachas v'sishayim kesef, and now we have seemingly another expression of einecha, l'sochus einecha. The ein gomer, don't tell me shehu gzeira shava, gemura, that it's a real gzeira shava that now is going to teach me the din of metav over from edim zomen to boshes. Because if that was true, midelo ka'amar asya tachas nesina einecha. Tosis doesn't mean tachas. He means tachas nesina yishalim kesef einecha. He just quoted the first two, meaning that the list should have had one more word in it. The Gemara list asya what? Asya tachas nesina yishalim kesef. Means those are the key words that teach you meta. Suddenly, if you're using for boshes another word, einecha, then the Gemara should have put in, because as long as something in the list needed another word, then you have to put all the words that are necessary to derive metav. So he left out einecha. So what Tosis must be trying to say, so it's not a gzeir shavah gemura, okay. But what is it? I mean, but it is a source. So what pshat? So the Lashna Rajba is, when he quotes Tosis at the very end of the Rajba I gave you, what does he say? Tosis calls it a? Gilui Musa bi'alma. Let's try to touch that up. What does that mean? So not a gzeir shavah gemura, because it's not part of the list of words that Gemara strings together here. It's a gili milsa. I understand it as follows. Gili milsa means that this lies within the word, with the expression itself. Losacha seinecha, meaning don't go easy on them, right? Don't go easy. Don't have rachmanis. So just like by Adam Zomimin, that expression entails what? That they don't get any type of softening of their sentence, meaning that the payment that they have to pay has to come mimetav. That's part of the stringency of Edom Zomen, as we learn out from, let's say, Nefesh Benefesh, as Rashi would have it. So just like Edom Zomen have part of their stringency of their psak is that they have to pay metav, and it says over there in that connection, lo sochos einecha, meaning don't shortchange them, give them the full brunt of the sentence, which has which includes within in it the idea of metav. So now it's a gili milsa that when the Torah says that you have to chiyav mamon of boshes, the katzoses kapa losachos einecha. So why it's a chiyav mamon? That's what Rashi said. It's a chiyav mamon that could be a real gzeir shava. It's mamon over here. It's mamon over here. But now the mashmos hapasuk losachos einecha, meaning that chiyav mamon of boshes is without any rachmanis, without softening it at all. In other words, with the full stringency of what the tashlumin would entail, kishen the beidim zomin, that tashlumin entailed chiyuv meitav, and therefore the losachos einecha, don't let it be anything less than the stringency that it could be. In other words, meitav. So mele the gilei milsa, that so too over here, the chiyuv mamon would be losachos einecha in such a manner that would not be in any way cushioned, that it would have to be mimeitav as well. I think that's the meaning of what Tosis is saying. So it's not a real gzeir shavah as far as this halacha. For Rashi's point, it'd be gzeir shavah to tell me that's fine. Einecha, einecha, to tell me that it means mamon and not literally katzos es kapa. What we're doing here is to simply understanding losachos einecha to mean that it has to have all elements of tashlumin without any cushioning. In other words, the chiyuv meitav. Good. That's as far as the makor for boshes. Continues Tosis. Now, as far another comment about one of the things in the list, the edim zomimin. So Eden Zomin is one of the things in Abchiyah's list that we say is paying me meitav. Where do we know it? Pirish Rashi, dechsib b'hu nefesh b'nefesh. As Rashi says, nefesh b'nefesh is ki'ilu was written tachas. So Tosis focuses on this inyan. He says, what exactly is the case? That Eden Zomin are paying meitav, and it's based on this special yafusa of a tachas. Nefesh b'nefesh is like tachas. Tzorch lomer. Dafiru im he'idu al shor tam shehizik. Suppose they testified about shortam shehizik, which means it's mishalim migufo, and as Tosis on the top of the Amud makes clear, a chiyuv migufo is not, by definition, a chiyuv meitav. It's a din migufo. That doesn't fit within the profile of meitav. So their testimony was about a chiyuv that's not meitav. Or alternatively, oh, idu ploni chayev ploni mane didino beziburis. Here you have to be magia. If they would testify about somebody owing money, then that's actually bebeninus, b'chol bebeninus. So the way that the other Rishonim have it, I think the Magia and Tosis as well, Tosis means two suggestions, either a case of beninus or a case of ziburis, like subas isha would be ziburis. So in other words, the bottom line is that the testimony had to do with a chiyuv that involves not neta. So again, as they insert it here on the side, Heidu Poni Chayev Poni Mana Didino Be Beninis, one case, or Heidu Aksuva, that a woman is entitled to Aksuva, Didina Beziburis. So their testimony involves a psak din of a payment of not Edis. And now they're found to be Zolmimin, right? Because it was a psak din issued on the person to pay money, but that psak didn't involve Meitav. It was a short tam, Migufo, it was a Chiyuv Beinis, a Chiyuv Ziburis. But now they have to pay Kasha Zolmim payment in the form of money to the person that they were Mechayiv through the Gemara Din. So now the Mishalmi Mimeitav. So that would be the application of the Gzeres HaKasuv that we are now at Nefesh B'Nefesh, Kiyu Ksiv Tachas, that their payment in that case has to be Meitav. Even though the Gemara Din that they imposed on that person was not Psak Din that had anything to do with Meitav. It was Bein Ziburis, for example, it was Megufo. But their Chiyu will have to be Meitav based on the Din of that we learn now, the Eidim Zom Pemi Meitav. What would be the alternative? The im ratzu l'chayiv acherim imeitav. If you would want to say that the only time Eidim Zom Pei Mimeitav is in a case where their chiyuv, that they weren't imposing on that person, that's Gmar Din, their agenda was to mechayiv meitav, and that's when they pay meitav, go tzarech krav, you wouldn't need the pasuk of nefesh b'nefesh, of tachas. Because that would be Meitav based on the Chiyuv of Kasha Zomam. They wanted the person to have to pay Meitav. They testified a person is Mazik and he has to pay Meitav. So Mimela, they have to pay Meitav and Kasha Zomam. So they wouldn't have to come on to the Chiyuv, to the Gzeres HaKasuv of Tachas of Nefesh B'Nefesh. Anyway, Meitav, because that was what they imposed, it was the Chiv that was imposed on the person. So where is there a nafkamina to come up with a drasha of nefesh b'nefesh, commander siftachas dami, that's when they were imposing a Chiv that would not have had Meitav in it, and yet they have to pay Meitav. That's what Tosis says. This is not everybody's position. The Rashba brings the Ravid and the Riva, they seem to say otherwise. Let's say the Shita brings from the Riva. Rashi says Nefesh B'Nefesh. The Riva apparently didn't like Rashi's Tachas drasha. It doesn't say tachas. What are you playing around? Nefesh is tachas. It doesn't say tachas. Yeah, Maaseh B'Gzeiras Shavos was sometimes a little more lenient. The words don't have to be perfect. But Rashi went with that. Riva apparently didn't like Rashi's pshat. So how did he learn? How do you know he's on payment meitav? Lo and behold, he learns. It's what Tosis says. You wouldn't, Tosis says you could always get in kasha zamim in a case where they were mechayev meitav. Since that's exactly what we're talking about. Riva pirish de lo tzvichi la haikra, sheim tuliyim ba'acherim, kmo shabatzul chayv acherim imeitav, hem yischayvu imeitav. If they were made that someone is chayv mana bedina b'ziburis, maybe means b'deraisa, yischayv b'ziburis. In other words, in a chinami, there is no second tier, there is no new limud. According to the Riva, the din meitav of Eidim Zomim is exactly what Tosis says you wouldn't need a pasuk for. It's from the Kasha Zomim. Tosis Rabbeinu Ishai says it sounds like a bit of a dochek. It comes out, if the testifying about a balchov or tam shehizik, they wouldn't be meitav. What does it mean? Why is it a dochek? Because it comes out they're not really always paying the meitav. They're paying meitav in some cases. Yeah, the Rashba brings from the Ravid. Okay, that's also fine, but you can have a case of Meitav. That's good enough to say they pay me Meitav in a case like that, based on the Kasha Zama. The Ravid says, Nishalon afashed in Zomin, she'in behem lo kesev, lo yisharin, lo tachas, lo nesina. He doesn't go with nefesh b'nefesh of Rashi. Ela iknasa hu kotikin deraisa tikun. That's a Avod Knas, and it's based on Kain Deraisa of Kefa and so on. So that would be simple. Kain Deraisa, just like we had the Rush said this by the Mitam Damanasech. But if Yod Mamonahu, Lamaisa the Gemara says Yod is Knas. I mean, at least Ravosh Yod is Knas. Ravoshia, we don't know. Mamona who haksiva sizmu kashazamam wasas gaache bereim nechayvim sa'adam ushami meitav. They made this up, he should be a bainanis. Emalach hachinami, shalom ushami meitav. So, in what sense are they called part of the list of meitav? So, what does the Rashba say? The Russian is ba'alma. I mean, ba'alma, there's some case like that. There's some case. What does he mean, ba'alma? Ba'alma means, in some case. So let's understand what this means. I mean, it's a stronger problem than we even realize. Like, it's not just pshat, that it's not all cases. I mean, that's one difficulty. So it comes that they're not always paying meta. The kasha is really stronger than this. Both say, what should be bothering you? According to the Riva, according to the Ravid, the halacha of Meitav, of Edim Zomimin, is what? It's a din kasha zomim. So in what sense are you putting it together with the other Avos Nezik and the Meitav? This is a din of kasha zomim. Like, what does that have to do with the din of Meitav? And it's only that case which works out. So how does it, it's a whole different halacha of Meitav. It's a kasha zama. That's what they wanted, so that's what they're getting. It's a special dinner meta. That's kasha zama. That's the definition, kasha zama. Vaharaya, if they were zama man ziburis, so they'll get ziburis. So, like, how can you? It's not just because it's not all cases, but even the cases that are meta, it's not meta halach, it's a kasha zama halach. According to Rashi, it's good. Kasha Zaman would be okay, but even if they wanted to Mechayv Ziburis, the payment, that's a din of, the Edom Zoman have a special din that they pay Meitav. But if the whole lacha they're paying Meitav is based on Kasha Zaman, so how do you put this with the list of all the Avos Hashami Meitav? That's the Kasha Zaman. A variation of this question I found in the Chassam Sofer. He asked it like this. He says, what did Tosis comment on Rashi? That Tzorach Lomar, that Rashi learns out from Nefesh B'Nefesh, that they pay Mimetav. That means not, that Nafkamina, if they were made on short time, or they were made Poni Chai V'Poni Mana, so then they still pay Metav. However, in a case where they be made, because if it's a case where they're made on Metav, Lo Tzorach Kra. Lo Tzorach Kra. Because that comes in Kasha Zama. Says Chassam Sofer, really? Lo Tzorach Kra? I'll tell you. There's an afkamina. I mean, it's not really, he's not asking my kashis, he's making the kashis sharper, you'll see why. Hamashgachasla, he says, suppose as follows. The sugya's later talk about Meitav, so the shy later, Meitav of who? There's Meitav, you can talk about Meitav in an objective way. Meitav b'shal olam, what's considered, you can talk about Meitav of the Nizik. What's his best, his choicest land? You could talk about the Meitav of the Mazik. Says the Chassam Sofer, suppose as follows. Suppose that Edom Zomim had Ziburis land in their estate, which is equal in quality to the Edis of the person they testified against. If you're working with Kasha Zomim, and you don't have any new drush of Nefesh B'Nefesh, then the chiyuv that they would have a kasha zamam would be only to pay the equivalent of what that person would have had to pay, meaning his edis, in which case their ziburis would have been sufficient to fulfill kashazama. Because their ziburis, their low-grade karka, is the same quality as his edis. And he would have had to pay the edis of his property. So then it's enough to say kashazam that they pay ziburis. But now that they have a halacha of nefesh b'nefesh, a part of the tachas nesina according to Rashi, so now they'll have to pay meitav according to their standards in their land, and it won't be enough to just pay the ziburis of their land, which is equivalent to his meitav. That's the chasam sofis ha'ara on Tosfos. If I run with the chasam sofis premise, which would mean, again, that kasha zamam, to fulfill meitav in terms of kasha zamam, it's sufficient for the edim to pay their ziburis, as long as their ziburis is on the same level, quality-wise, as the person's edis. If that were true, then what should come out? Then the riva and the ravid, who don't have a nefesh b'nefesh drasha, they only know edim zomim pay me meitav based on kasha zamam. So now what should follow, according to Chasam Sofer's reasoning? That the din of meitav of edim zomim would be defined and measured in terms of the meitav of the nizik, of the person that they spoke against, a person that they testified against. If their ziburis is the same quality as that person's edis, that would be the kim of meitav of edim zomim. And now I ask you, Rabosai, edim zomim is in the list of 24 cases of meitav. And it's totally different according to some Sofer's premise. It will come out that not only what you asked before, that there's cases that they won't be meitav and cases that they will, but many cases they won't. Even the case that they're paying meitav, it would come out that their meitav would be measured in a different way than all the other 23 in the list. That all the other 23 in the list, meitav would require them to give their best. Yafesh ebinachseyem. And by Edim Zomin, if the whole din meitav is based on being kasha zamam, so according to the Chasam Sofer's logic, it would mean that they could fulfill their din of meitav by giving their ziburis, as long as the ziburis is equal to the edus of the other person. How strange! It's part of a list of 24 mazikin who pay meitav, and the meitav in zomim is this in kasha zamam, and according to this, it would mean that they can really give ziburis as long as it's edus of the other person. So it's a different than meitav. So not only is it a kasha on Aran Tosis, a chasam sofer, is this what he's saying, it would come out that the riva, those who disagree, and you don't have nefesh b'nefesh, would come out as a whole different than meitav. The ziburis of the edim would be sufficient. How could that be?
You be doche by saying alumnus who's in Rashi of Edom Zomim that the Edom Zomim basically take the place of the Nidon.
That's where we're going.
And then he's going to become the new Mazik.
So let's go. Let's see where this list takes us. I think you're on the right track. Absolutely. That's where we have to go. That's where we have to end up. We have to take the journey there. But that's where we're going. Absolutely. I mean, Chara, you have very, I like you to see the, you know, rather just having the thought, you have to hear why it's Mukhrach. You know, like, you have to navigate here. Like, what's going on here? The cheshbon sounds correct. What does this indicate? What does it point to? Yeah.
Have we known the whole time that that meitav means the meitav of the mazik?
Yeah, I think it's clear. I mean, that's how we come out of maskan. That's the sugya later, bishal olamin shamin bishal. I mean, so we're going to go with the maskan as a sugya.
Sure.
That meitav means meitav the day, meitav the day of the mazik, and if that's true for everything else. And if Edom Zomim is through the hoop of Kasha Zaman, then it would come out to a whole different standard of Meitav. Strange. Let's ask the following question. We're going to go to where Shmuel is going, but let's think about the following issue. This Chasam Sofer that says, I mean, we would basically essentially be challenging the premise of Chasam Sofer's question. He says Tosus is saying it's nafkamina has to be if they spoke about Ziburis, because they. If they spoke about Zburis and then they get Meitav Nefesh B'Nefesh, says the Chasam Sofer, even if they spoke about Edis, but it could be Nafka Mina based on Kasha Zamam, sufficient to give their Zburis as well. Maybe not. The Chasam Sofer's understanding seems to be that if it's Meitav based on Kasha Zamam, then what does that mean? It means that he would have had to pay his edis, his meitav, so then they'd have to give the equivalent of that in the, terms of what would he be equal to that in their property? So if it's their ziburis, good. So that's the dinate of it, corresponds to his edus. Suppose someone testified, Edom testified about a person's land. It happens to be edus, happens to be metam. And they testify that it's not really his. It's not his. They found to be Zomimim. Without the special din of Edom Zomim paying the metam, it so happened that that land was metam. Would that halacha require that they have to pay with metav? Kasha zoma. The land that they want him to lose was a land of Edus. Or do we say no? That's coincidental. They have to pay value. Edus just means that $100 land, so this many acres would be best quality, and you would have this many acres, the value of $100. Ziburis would be not as good quality land, so you get more land for the same money. But it's about money, it's about value. Just because it happened to be that the land that they testified about happened to be metav, does not mean, based on kasha zamam, that they have to pay in their payment in that kasha zamam a land of the same caliber. Because that's coincidental. They want the person to lose $100. The land that they testified that he's going to lose based on the testimony happens to be land of metav. But that would not dictate based on kasha zamam. If there was no separate din of metav, there'd be no din for kasha zamam in a case like that, that they have to pay metav because that's the man that they want them to lose happens to be metav. I would argue, no, maybe not. The only reason, and therefore what the Chassam Sofer is assuming over here, if the land, you'll see, the only reason why we could talk about metav through kasha zamam is as follows. They're testifying about a person that the Gemara din on that person, they said that that person has a chiyuv to pay with a payment of metav associated with that chiyuv. They say someone was mazik. And that psak that based in Paskins against the person that they testified has a psak that he has to pay, and that payment has associated with it the stringency, that detail called pay me meta. Then Kasha Zaman would say that the same way that they wanted to impose on this person a chiyuv that has with it the tag called pay me meta, so then the Kasha Zaman would bring with it that when they have to pay for what for their crime, their payment has to have in it that also that association, that sticker called pay me meta. If that's what the Rishonim mean, then it would be clear that their metav would not be enough to say, well, their ziburis is equal to that person's metav, like the Chassam Sofer is assuming. No. Because the pshat is that Kasha Zaman brings with it that their chiyuv has to entail the tag called metav. Metav means metav of the person paying. The Chassam Sofer says, look at the value that it was going to cost him. The quality of the land. No. That's not the point. The point is that the chiyuv entailed the din of metav. So that din is what they're going to have to do through kasha zamam to make it sharper. This is what I think you were getting to. We jumped it wrong. Rav Chanan's vart that we spoke out in the earlier in the sugya, the way he presents it is, what does kasha zamam mean? Again, even we don't quite say as far as this, it would also be good, but it makes it more geschmack to say it this way. The halacha of the kasha zamam means that the psak din that was rendered against the person that they testified is inherited by the Aden. That psak din is venapochu, right? It's yashuv al rosho. That becomes carried out on them. That psak din with all of its aspects, that's kasha zamam. He says it to answer up a Tosis Ksumas Lamed Beis. Tosis, the Gemara there, and Tosis mentions that you could have the chomer of hei devarim, of having nezek sarvi poshevis boshes, can exist by Edom Zomim. How? Tosu says if they were testifying about a person who's chayiv as a chova behedvarim. So ask for Vachan and I understand. Hedvarim add up to a certain lump sum. Nezek is X amount, tsar, ripui, sheves, boshes. So whatever it all adds up to is $2,000. They have to pay $2,000, which is what they wanted him to lose. So why is that called that Edom Zomen have within it the chumra called hedvarim? They pay hedvarim in a case where they made that the person's chayiv hedvarim. Their chiyuv is the lump sum of what the hedvarim would have added up to. Says Rav Chanan, no, because the reason why they pay hedvarim is because the psak on that person is to have to pay nezek tsar ripui sheves boshes. That's kasha zama. That becomes so it becomes that you have within their world of Eden Zomin, the Chiv of Hedvarim. That's a Chum, that's how he answers the Pshat and Tosas Lamed Beis and Suvis. For our purposes, they're made and they cause the Pshat Din to be rendered against the person, and that Pshat Din carries within it the Chumra of Meta. That Pshat Din now reverts on them, and they have to pay Kashazamam in the same way that that Pshat Din and tell Meitav, they have to pay Meitav. Who's Meitav? Obviously they're Meitav. That's what Meitav means. Meitav are the ones paying. If that's the case, I think we have a little bit of understanding of the Raivin and the Riva. What was our problem, fundamentally? First of all, the premise of Chaim Sofer's question won't exist. Obviously the Meitav in this case will be also the Meitav of the Eidim Zomin. Not the Eidim, then Meitav of the person. But what was our problem? So sometimes they pay Meitav, sometimes they don't. Why is it in the list? Everything else is paying Meitav, straight. Eidim Zomin, when do they pay to the Riva? They only pay Meitav when there's no new drush. It's only Kasha Zomim. So, and yet it's called the Chumra of Meitav. Why? And when are they paying Meitav? Only if they testified against a person in a case where they testified about an Idis case. Not if they testified about Shortam, not if they testified about Ziburis. So why is it included in the list? The answer is because when they do pay Meitav, that's the pshat is that the Kasha Zamam brings with it the quote-unquote dimension of Tashlumin called Meitav. True, it's not in every case, but when it exists, it is copy and paste. That Chiyuv Meitav that you have all the time. So within Kasha Zamam, you have the Edom Zomin paying Meitav. True, it's inherited from the person who testified, true. But it's a carbon copy of the Din Meitav. It's the same Din Meitav. The same way Rav Chanan said that you can have the Chumra quote, Hey Devarim by Edom Zomin, because they're inheriting the Chiyuv that they imposed on the person. This is the Pshat over here. They inherit the Chiyuv. Their Chiyuv Kasha Zaman brings with it the Chumra Meitav. So the Chumra Meitav exists by Edom Zomin in the same way. Again, the Chassam Sofer had a different take on this. He said, well, the loss of the money, you know, would have been for him Meitav, so then corresponding to that, you have to figure out what was a Meitav by him, so then for them it could be Ziburis, there could be Nafkamina, therefore, between Rashi and Kasha Zaman, and then it comes out the whole Meitav of the Edom Zomin would be a whole different type of Meitav. It could be a Ziburis payment, very odd, very strange. But the way we're saying it now, it's a different vort. It's a hair. It's like, it's not the pshat that what would have happened to that person. I give you the muscle. If they testify about a person who's going to lose land, which happens to be Meitav, that wouldn't entail Meitav by Kasha Zaman standards. Kasha Zaman brings Meitav because the Psak Din that now has to be paid by them in the form of Kasha Zaman, the payment of Kasha Zaman says bring every aspect of that Psak Din into full view for them that they have to pay in this, with all of those trimmings that the Chiyuv Tashlumin had in associated with it, that would be their Chiyuv as well. So of course it would be their Meitav. And then I can understand better why you could put it in Zomin with everything else, even if it won't occur in every case. For the Riva, it's only cases of testifying against the person who's chayev Edis. But when you do that, the Kasha Zaman says that you have to pay your Meitav because you take on the Chiyuv Meitav just like that was the Chiyuv that you imposed on him. Okay, I guess you could still call it a Dochik a little bit like the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, Tosa Rabbeinu Yeshaya, good. But not as overwhelming dochik as we thought it was. You know, this is what you said, but we just want to bring it out. It's really it's a different perspective. Questions? Geshmak, it works? You hear it, everybody, yeah? I want to leave you now with one other inyan, like a loose end, not really exactly, but it's also a very lumbish inyan. The Rajba, I mean, England of itself, there's so much in these sugyas that we also only scratch the surface. But the Rajba, the Tocha Dvarim, he alludes to another question about Rav Chiya's list. The Rashba earlier discusses, you know, what about other things that are left out? The Rashba Hamotzi Shemra, that Rashba Hamotzi Shemra the Diburu Katani Diburu Yisbe Meisa who fine. Tmiyali. So first he starts by saying, all of Dina de Garmi. There's so many cases we discussed very quickly yesterday. Cases of Garmi could have gone into Rav Chiya's Braisa. No. Maradina Lashochani, and you mislead the Shochani, you say it's a good coin, it's not. You have to pay because of Garmi. Sorif to Rosav Shochavero, Mazik Shibudo, that means you mochel the chov after you sold the Shtar Chov. Donis Hadin, you paskin wrong, and you have to pay because of Garmi. All right, so he says maybe all of that is included in what? Included in Nezik. And I gave you only from the later part, but anyway, this is how he starts. Maybe all that's Bechol Nezik. He quotes Hezek that are not similar to each other, Hezek Shein and Nicker. Yeah, but this is included, even though it's Ayidig Rama. Fine. Then he's Ma'or from Kofer. Kofer Shloshim Shalevet, Nami Lo Katani. He says what Tosis says, the Biktala Lo Kamairi. Okay, so far so good. Now, are you ready for this? Fellas, you saw this? You got to this? What does he ask now? No? What does he ask? Who saw it? Shein Va'ayin. You understood this, Rashba? What's the halacha? The Torah says, again, Parshas Mishpatim. This is Chaf Aleph Chavav, Chaf Aleph Chavav, Chaf Zayin. Chiyake ish is ein avdo o es ein amaso v'shichasa laf chafshi yishalchenu tachas eino. So if an adon knocks out the eye of his eved, then he has to send the eved free. V'im shein avdo shin amaso yapil, if he does knocks out the tooth of his eved, laf chafshi yishalchenu tachas shino. Yeah, the Gemara learns out. Other Rashi Yevarim as well, not just Shein V'ayin, but this is what we call Shein V'ayin. The halacha is that the Eved goes free. Okay. Now I read you a Rashba. The Shein V'ayin, the Rashi Yevarim, Rashi Yevarim means that we learn not just as Chavdal Rashi Yevarim, that all have the same halacha. If he causes the Eved to lose one of these parts of the body, then he has to free the Eved. Bechal Nezekein. So you could say, no, don't mention that because it's Bechal Nezek. So he doesn't have to mention it. No, but that's not a good answer. V'leisa. The Rashi Yivarim nami knasin inu. That which, the halach of Shein V'ayin and Rashi Yivarim is a knas. It's not it. You can't say it's Nezek. Bechal Nezek is knas. Nu, v'amayro tani luhu kide tani kuru idach knasi. He mentioned many different knasos. Keifel mentions, metam v'la menasech. So here's another knas. The ko knas v'knas in the nafshahu. The go yavchad mechavre. Right, knas. You have to mention every example of knas. V'chiyav yisok adaita dehezek shein nikel rav shmehezek el knasa. Havenicha lo an kitani rav chiyah. When the Gemara says originally, let's say rav chiyah holds rav shmehezek. That's why he mentions it. He holds shmehezek. Tani le nezek. And for the Gemara, okay, tani hezek de ninkara, tani lo minkara. But if it's lo shmehezek, then it's good. Because we mentioned Mitame, Mitam Menaseh. I forgot the Tani Knasi Tuva. The Chiyamin, the Shmei Ezek, that was when we had a question on the Kashalan, on my Tanya, Tani Le Nezek. No, so Knas, you mentioned more Knasos, the better. The Tzarech Le'il doesn't have an S. So the Rashba leaves the question hanging. Why didn't Rav Chiya mention in his list of Avos Nezikin the Knas of Shein V'ayin? Now, it's puzzling. What does he mean? Why is he mentioning the list? For what halacha? For what purpose? For what purpose? Avos Nezikin, kul ka'avos, what? L'shalim imeita. What application does that have to do with the din of Shein V'ay? The din is that the Eved goes free. No? So what does it do with meita? It's a medrash pliya. Like, what is he talking about? I saw an amazing shtickle Torah here. Rav Nachum brings it. It's a fascinating. I mean, not pshat in the Rashba, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Like, it's a fascinating shtickle Torah. What's the pshat in this Rashba? short version or the long version? That's the question. It's like, how much should I give you in this? It's a whole sickle tarot, mamish. It's like an amazing thing.
20
what?
20 minutes, bro.
We have time. Okay, the chumash we do tonight, right? And then we'll see. All right, we'll see what to do. It's based on a vort from Rav Chaim, that, I don't know, maybe it's in the Ksavim too, they bring it, Mat B'Shem Rav Chaim, Pshat in the Gemara, Daf Ayin Dalet, later in Bava Kama. Basically, he wants to say as follows, they want to construct the following case. Look at the bottom of Gemara in Dalet and Aleph. Maskif lo Rav Zera. Okay, the din is as follows. If the Adon does the following, he blinds the Eved, say Simeas Eino, that's the equivalent of the Ayin, that should be Motzi L'Cheiros, and he knocks out a tooth. So he did both. So the din is that he goes L'Cheiros based on the first Havala that takes out the Shein, let's say, or the Ayin. And then he has to pay him to make chavala for the other Aver. That's the din, okay? Seemingly. So that means he owes the Eved, seemingly. Comes the Gemara and asks, but Maskev Rav Zera, Ema Simeas Eino, Nepuk Be'eino, on Talmud Beis, Hippilas Shino, Nepuk Beshino. But Simeas Eino, Behippilas Shino, Nepuk be'eino vishina. In other words, how do you know that there's going to be a chiyuv for the second thing that he took out? Because he did, you know, two. He did the ayin and the shein. Maybe, in that case, he goes a chayrus for both. There's no additional payment to pay for the second aver. It's just, maybe in chanami, maybe it would be the same chayrus for the two. Okay, it could be for one, price of two for the price of one, so to speak, you know. Or the other way, one chayrus for both Eivarim, you know. One for the price of two. Okay, in other words, he goes a chayrus for both. That's the Rav Zera's question. Amar Abaye, Alecha Amakra. For you, the pasuk says, Tachas Eino, it says, Chafish, there's two different psukim. Chafish and Tachas Eino, Chafish Shachenu, Tachas Shino. Alecha makra tachas eino, velo tachas eino vishino. Tachas shino, velo tachas shino ve'eino. In other words, each pasuk is stressing that the yitzil l'cheirus is for that and that alone. So that means that I can see from here that when he does the second strike and he takes out the other aver, that he has to pay for it. And not that he goes l'cheirus for both, but each one is a separate. It's only for one that you go acheres, and the other one memela is mechayev the adon to pay. Tachas eino to lo tachas eino v'shino. Tachas shino v'lo tachas shino v'eino. That's the gemara. The pasuk pshat in this gemara would be to assume. So why does he pay the eved now for the second strike? Because it's regular chaval, right? Regular chaval. Now he has to go free, and now the Eved is entitled to the Knas. But this is not Pashut. Why isn't it Pashut? Because the Gemara in Gittin daf mem beis on the days. And it's a cover to Chanukah, really. This is a little bit off field for, not typical for us, but okay, listen, it's nice. The Gemara has the following. The question in the Gemara here on mem beis on beis in Gittin is as follows. Ibayeluhu. Mu'ukov get shichvur, yeshko knasa engel knasa. There's a shayla, that's what I call mu'ukov get shichvur. A person who the adon has a chiv to free, but he hasn't yet given him the shtar shichvur. So there's a quasi state of, he's still an eved technically, but he has the right to go free. Now, there's a lot of cases like this, mu'ukov get shichvur. One possible case, it's machokes tanoim, the din of shein va'ayin, we'll soon see in the Gemara. So according to one Tana, he's already free. According to another Tana, it means that the Adon has to free him now. Once he took out the Ayin or the Shein, he has to free him. So this is what's going to come up in his Gemara. The Shaila of the Gemara is as follows. Me'ukav get shichvur yesh lo knas or ein lo knas. The halacha is that if a shor kills an evet, so what's the din kofar there? What does the Torah say? What's the fixed amount of the kofar? Shloshim shel evet. Question is, who gets it? Yitain? Kefer shloshim galim, yitain? Ladonav. But wait a second, is it Adonav or not? He's an Ukav get shichvur. The Adon is as good as having lost him. He just has to formally give him the shichvur. That's the only thing that, there's all kinds of cases that's called Ukav get shichvur, because he was mafkir, his Eved. But technically, there's still the Kenyan Isser, he still has status of an Eved in terms of who he can marry. So there's a halacha, he has to now free him. That's one of my machokas, Rabbi Shmuel. But this is an example of many where there's a sort of like, he hasn't gotten the get shichur, but he's not quite the Eved that he was before. Mu'ukav get shichur. So would the Adam be entitled to the shoshim shkalim in the case of an Eved who is mu'ukav get shichur? Keser shoshim shkalim yitin ladonav amarachmana v'hai lav adonhu. He's not an adon. Odilma kimet the mechusa get shichur adon karina they. Suffolk of the Gemara benogeya the shoshim shkalim of the Eved. Okay, so there's a Gemara, Shaka V'Tarya. Now, in the middle of that Gemara, Tashma, he pilleth shino v'simeth eino. Here's the case. He does two things. What happens? He takes out his tooth, and then he blinds him. Yotze b'shino v'nosin t'me eino. So the din is, he goes to cheros based on what? Based on the first strike of the shein, and then the adon has to pay the eved t'me eino for the second strike. The E Amrit, if you tell me Yesh lo Knas or Knas l'rabo, if you tell me that the Knas still goes to the Adon even when you have Mu'ukav get shichur, Hashta Chavli Beyachrini Yavile l'rabe, if someone else will be Chovel against the Eved, who gets the money, the Adon, Chovel Beyrabe Gufe Yorvle l'dide? So how could you say that the Adon is Mu'ukav to give the Eved the Chavola for the second strike, if he's still considered the one to be able to get any money of chavala against the Eved? So if I'm the one that does it, how could it be that I have to pay the Eved? It should be no different than me getting whatever else would be coming based on someone being chavala to the Eved. I'm not worse than anybody else. I should keep the money. So the raya, that the knas goes to the Eved by Mukav Geshech, because that's why the Eved can get the money. That's what the Mora asks. Well, it says maybe it's not a raya. Why? Dilma kemandama ainut tzarich. Maybe that din is talking according to the mandama that mu'ukav get shichur, that the mu'ukav get shichur doesn't need a. I'm sorry. That if the adam strikes the shen va'ayin, he doesn't need to get shichur at all. Desanya, machokes tanayim, if the eved needs to get shichur or not when the adam takes out the shen va'ayin. So it could be that this goes with Ma'as Doche. Okay, so that's the Shaila in the Gemara. Well, Ma'isa comes out that it's far from simple that after the Eved goes free, so to speak, quote unquote, goes free with Shein, that he should be entitled to the Chavala of the Ayin. Because the Choret depends on this issue. If he's still shaykh to the Adon, to the extent the Adon collects chavala money, kofar money, so then why would the Adon have to pay? That's the question. So this makes for a stira in the Rambam, okay? The Ravid asked a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, Hilchas Avodim, Perek He, quote, Hamapil Shein Avdo, Vesime Es Eino, Hare Ze Yotza Lecherus, Bishino, So what is the Rabbam Paskin? In the case of Mapil Shein Avdo V'Sime Es Eino, Yotze L'Cheirus B'Shino V'Nosi D'Me Eino. He has to pay him now for the second strike. Fek derived. Amar Avam, Dvarav Sosrim Ze Eze, Shekvar Kasa B'Hilchus Chove U'Mazik, She'Eino M'Shalem D'Me Eino, Elim Kein Tafas. The Rabbam is Sosrim himself. Chove U'Mazik Perek Dalit. As follows, Dalad Yud Aleph, Kol Evet Shiyatzel Lacherus, Va'adayin Lo Higia Get Shichru Liyado, He hasn't gotten get shikur. Ein lo knas. In other words, who gets the money? Who gets the money? Still the other. V'achim shechavu bo ein yachol lo tzimehen la'atzmo shadayin lo goma shechmuro. Ufika chamapil shein avdo v'ach kach sime eino yotze b'shino v'eino nosin lo dmei eino v'im tofas emo tzim v'yado. Rabosai. What does the Rambam say in Hilchos Avodim Perakei? The case is the case of that we just talked about. Shein mapu shein avdo v'simias eino yotzelo cheres b'shino v'nosilo d'me eino. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Chovo Mazik says that in this case, since he's m'ukav gets shichur, because the Rambam paskins like which tana that after he gets the shein taken out, he needs to get shichur. So the Rambam says therefore mapu shein avdo v'akach simias eino yotzelo b'shino v'eino nosilo d'me eino. And tough as emotion, but Rambam says, so to steal. So, the Migdal Oz, on the bottom of the Rambam, has a defense in the Rambam. It says, I'll answer the Rambam as follows. The steer in the Rambam, I both say, right? What's the din? If the Adon does two things, takes out the Shein and takes out the Ayin, does he have to pay him for the second Eivor or not? The Rambam one place says that since it's technically still technically an Eved, so then the Adon doesn't owe him anything. In the other place, the Rambam seems to say that he has to pay him for the second Eivor. So what do you make of the two Rambams? Says the Migdal Oz, we're coming to the Rav Chaim in a second, but it's building for the Rav Chaim. The Migdal Oz says, ani, he brings the Rav, ani omer, that which the Rambam says in Hilchos Chovel Perek Dalid, that he doesn't pay him for the second Eivor, that's talking about when there was already a Psak Din. Yatzel Cheirus, and it was a psak din, he has to go to Cheirus, and then comes, and then he strikes him again. So then the Rambam says that he doesn't have to pay for the second time. But here we're talking about it was all together. Here, the Rambam is talking about at the time that he did one, he did the other. Kodim Gemar Din, B'sho'achas, or B'ze'achazeh, V'hischozeh, Ad Shalom Nikmar Dino Shozeh. In other words, boom, boom, a double strike. In that case, he has to pay him for the second Eivor. But if it was like two separate events, one time he was Hippo Eschino, and then it was a Psag Din that he had to go to Cheirus. And then a week later, he hasn't given the Shtar Shichur yet. Then he struck him again. He's angry, whatever. So that's when the Rambam would say that he doesn't have to pay for the second strike. What's pshat? What would be the pshat? So Rav Chaim said a word like this, and this would work for the Migdal Oz's teretz. This is the bottom line, okay? When we saw in the Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet, the Gemara had a question, Rav Zera's question. How can you tell me that the second time he has to pay him? He has to pay him for the second Eivor. Maybe if he takes out the Shein, Yafel Cheres, takes out Ayin, he takes out Shein and Ayin, right, the Yatzachay is for both of them. The answer is, Alech Amakras is a baye, Tachas Eino velo Tachas Eino v'shino. Tachas Shino velo Tachas Shino v'eino. So the Torah is Megala, that the Cheres comes for one and not for both. So how do we understand that? The Pashup Shat would be, so the Torah is simply Megala, that Yitzila Cheres is limited to the first Eivor that he took out. Memela what? Comes the strike on the second Eivor. It's a normal halacha of Chavala. A normal halacha that you have to pay, like Chova b'chavero, so Chova b'avdo. So you have to pay for the second time as if it were Chovel, Stamad din of Chovel. So Rav Chaim says, no. We're talking about a special din, the Torah's machadish. This is not the normal Chavala. Normal Chavala could be Mammon. The Rambam says the Chiddush. The Rambam says Chavala Nezek is Knas. We had a problem from the Rav Chiya's Braisa, right? Rav Oshia mentions Nezek and he doesn't count Knas. So the Rambam is difficult. But the Pashup Shat Nezek is Mam, not Knas. But Rav Chaim says the Torah is Machadish, that when he strikes two things, two Evarim, Shein v'Ayin, maybe even Shein v'Shein, it was not with a Gemar Din in between. So the Torah is Machadish. He goes to Cheirus as a Knas. And he has to pay a knas for the second thing. In other words, there's a second aspect to a knas. The Torah is machadesh that he has to pay dmei shino on top of the yitzilu cheres that he has to free him for einam. This is in a case where it was one, before it was a gemar din on one, he hit him on a second aver. So the Torah is machadesh velo tachas eino v'shino, meaning the Torah is machadesh. He's yotzei l'cheres for one, and you pay him for the other. The Torah created a chiyuv knas for the second aver. That's Rav Chaim's word. That's the Gemara daf ayin dalet beis, and that's the case in the Rambam that says that you would have to pay because, as the Migdal Oz says, that would be the case where there wasn't a gemar din yet for the first, and then it's all one maisa, and the Torah created in this maisa the following paradigm of knas. The knas is two things. Number one, yotzei l'cheres for the first strike, and chiyuv knas for the damim of the second strike. That all comes from the gzeiras hakasuv of tachas eino v'lo, tachas eino v'shino. Comes out the second, the tashlumin for the second Efer is a tashlumin of what? Not stam chavala. Stam chavala would be called mamu. Not like that the Rambam that's called knas. Whatever that means, it's a difficult Rambam from our Gemara. But it's a regular, that would be a regular chavala. But what is over here? It's the gzeiras hakasuv within the parsha, the new parsha called Shein V'ayin. Within the parsha of Shein V'ayin, there's not just the halacha of Yitzia L'cheirus, whether that means yet mechuyev to free him or he's automatically free, that's the machlokes tanoim. But not just the halacha of Yitzia L'cheirus, but within the parsha of Shein V'ayin, we have an example of a chiyuv knas to pay for the second thing that he took out. Again, b'kai gavna, like the Migdal Oz says, when it was a case that he hadn't yet been omen bedin for the first thing, so the Torah is mechadesh velo tachas eino v'shino, namely that he's yotzei l'cheres and you have to pay knas for the second thing. No, with all of this, we can come back and say a mahalach in the Rashba. Why did the Rashba ask and not answer? Why didn't Rav Chiya mention a case of meitav for Shein V'ayin? Meitav, Shein V'ayin. Shein V'ayin means that he ever goes free. What's meitav have to do with it? No, the Rashba means not Shein or Ayin. The Rashba means the parsha Shein V'ayin in a case where he did two things. He did struck him Shein and struck him the Ayin. Simeis Eino, Hipeles Shino. And within that halacha, there's a din that no single dmei eino nigzeras hakasuv of the parsha of Shein V'ayin, the lo tachas eino v'shino. He goes free for one and you pay him for the other, and it's a knas. And that knas has to be, of course, mimeitav. And that would be an example of Chiyo could have mentioned, and Rashi doesn't know why I didn't mention it. A covered Chanukah, Rabbi Osei, it's a shtickle Torah. It is for sure a shtickle Torah. Pshan the Rashba, not Pshan the Rashba, lo yodea, it's a stretch, but it's a Rav Chaim, and it's a whole Mahalach, and it's sort of like, as a cap to the sugya. Should I say a word on Chanukah too, or should just leave it ready for Mincha? We have a lot tonight to talk about. What? Okay, say something if you want, quick, but... What?